Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel reading. Please be seated. Well, brothers and sisters, Matthew 22, and the context, Holy Week. This is the last week of our Lord's life, almost Good Friday time. It's the climax of the world. No, the climax of the universe. Why? Because Jesus, the God-man, will atone for all sin and every sinner with his divine blood shed on the altar of his cross. What a salvific gift that is. And yet, this incredible, free, and gracious gift of the kingdom of heaven's salvation given on the earth in Jesus can be, and it is, rejected. It happens all the time in our Lord's day and also in our day as well. Now, to illustrate this hellacious and tragic rejection of kingdom of heaven gift Jesus and his Good Friday achievement and winning of salvation, Jesus preaches another parable to the people of his day and to all of us who are gathered here at Trinity this morning. Jesus wanted to repent and faith Israel then, and he would repent and faith us, the new Israel, his church, today, especially we LCMSers. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus doesn't push disinformation. He's authentic, and he tells the truth, both salvation and damnation. So as we get ready to hear, let's pray the collect of the day one more time, shall we? Let us pray. Almighty God, you invite us to trust in you for our salvation. Deal with us not in the severity of your judgment, but by the greatness of your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now on to the parable. The king, that's God the Father, throws an extravagant and magnanimous party for his beloved son's wedding. That's Jesus. The kingdom's VIPs, the big shots, the big cheeses, and the big wheels, they're all invited. The king has reserved a table for all of them at the party, and he expects them to attend and to be served by him. But as the RSVPs belatedly arrive, it is agonizingly clear that the invited VIPs have made other plans. And that's then when the king's servants go out again, and now they go door to door. On behalf of the king, they plead. The prime rib is smoked to perfection. The cheesy potatoes and hash browns are delicious. The best Napa Valley wine and bourbon barrel beer have been poured. There's creme brulee for dessert. Cubans are ready to smoke. Those are cigars, by the way. The wedding feast for the king's beloved is ready. We're begging you. Dinner's ready in the kingdom of heaven. Come, enjoy. It will be magnificently wonderful. The invitees couldn't care less. They blow off the king's invitation. They're too busy. One had work to do on the farm, the text says. Another had to tend to business affairs, the text said. And some of the invitees, did you hear it in the text? Listen again. Some of the invitees are so perturbed that the king's servants would interrupt their lives, that they actually turn into street gangs and thugs. They shamefully and they violently beat and murder some of the king's servants. This is incredible. And so Jesus says that the king was angry, sent his troops, and destroyed the murderers, and burned their city. That is, as Kuhlman puts it, that is the hellacious consequences of rejecting the kingdom of heaven wedding feast of Jesus, the Good Friday King's son. Let me put it to you another way. Imagine, seriously, imagine that you prepare a wedding feast for your son or for your daughter. All the preparations, all the expenses, all the time, all the sweat, and everyone you invite blows it off. You'd be hurt. I know you would. That's all you'd talk about on social media for years. Now I think you begin to see how the king feels. One of the themes of our Lord's parables over the last month or so, if you have been paying attention, is this. Remember the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18? The unforgiving servant in Matthew 18 is condemned even though he was forgiven at first. Remember that? And now the invited guests become enemies even though they had a place at the king's wedding feast for his son. And it's all their own fault, by the way. They refused the king's generous goodness and divine service, and so instead they get wrath. Brothers and sisters, to reject the gift of the kingdom of heaven, that's Jesus, the king's son, that'll come with consequences. Now, Jesus comes with all the benefits of his Good Friday death, forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's the wedding feast that Jesus is extolling in the parable. If you blow that off, all you're left with is hell. Hellacious eternal darkness and never-ending gnashing of teeth. Now, this is what the Bible teaches, and that's why I'm pushing this. It's pushed in the parable. So when Jesus speaks this parable, the A-listers, of course, are the people of who? They're the people of Israel. And most especially, it's hyper-religious spiritual leaders who actively rejected Jesus. And when they rejected Kingdom of Heaven Jesus, they forfeited their seat at the wedding feast. The Bible speaks of this all the time in many ways. For example, John 1:11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Matthew 21, which we heard recently, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and cornerstone. Yes, one of the truths of Scripture is that Jesus and his kingdom of heaven gift of salvation can and will be rejected. Now back to the parable. No one's at the wedding feast, and yet the feast has been prepared and everything is ready. So what does the king do? He sends out more servants with his gracious invitation to attend. And no longer the VIPs and the bigwigs. They're all dead to him. He tells the servants, I'm going to paraphrase, head out to the highways. Head out to the boulevards. Yeah, even go into the dark back alleys and even if you're in rural Nebraska, the minimum maintenance roads. Invite everyone that you find, the good, the bad, the ugly, the reputable, and the disreputable, the least, the lost, the lowly. The good is dead. Two-foot hookers, tax collectors, zealots, you name it. You invite them all. The feast is ready. Come to the feast. And incredibly, now, the wedding hall is jam-packed. This group of people in the parable represents who? It represents the church, the Israel of the last days, a gathering of all sorts of people, the good, the bad, ugly, sinners of every stripe, including you and me. And it's all by God's grace. It's all gift. It's all gospel. It's unearned. It's unmerited. The worthy are found unworthy. The unworthy are now declared worthy. Remember that when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. Seriously. Oh, but there's more. Jesus has more to say, typical preacher. As the king gazes on this immense throng of people, he observes one guy in particular. This dude that he sees is not wearing a tux, a wedding suit. Now, surely the king gave him, just like everyone else at the Kingdom of Heaven wedding feast, the appropriate text, tux. But didn't the king have time to give it to him? Or what's going on here? Didn't the man have time to change into it? What's going on here? All we know is that for whatever reason, this dude is not dressed properly. And so the king gets in his grill. Friend, how did you get in here without a suit, a wedding garment? How'd you get in? The tuxless dude is speechless. Literally, though, the Greek is this word or verb, silent. Speechless implies he was stunned because he got in or got caught as a wedding crasher. But silent, and that's what the Greek verb literally means. Silent suggests something completely different. Namely, that this dude denies both the king's presence as well as the king's categorical question. In other words, this dude purposely snubs the king and his gifts. In other words, unbelief. Now, what do you think the dude should have said? What do you think? He should have said something like this. Your Majesty, I'm deeply sorry. Forgive me, I beg you. Confession and absolution is the king's cup of tea, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But this tuxless dude refuses to acknowledge the king's presence, won't speak to him, and bullishly wants to be at the wedding feast on his own terms. In the kingdom of heaven, that's never a good idea. What could possibly go wrong with that? Here's what. The kingdom of heaven wedding feast bouncers cuff the faithless weddingless garment dude and brusquely hurl him out of the wedding feast into the external darkness where he can spend a forevermore eternity weeping and gnashing his teeth. It's at this point then that Jesus concludes his sermon, and maybe it bothered you. So let's talk about it just briefly, shall we? Jesus said what? Many are called, but few are chosen. The called many are all who have heard the wonderful news that Jesus has died, that he has risen, that the wedding feast of salvation is ready for sinners and they're invited to come to the feast. In other words, the preaching goes out to everyone. The chosen few are those who in faith are gathered at the marriage supper of the Lamb in his kingdom, who are clothed with the wedding garment of Christ's righteousness in holy baptism. Again, to repeat, to be included at this wedding feast is only by God's grace. It's his gift to you. But to be excluded is entirely your own fault, your refusal, your turning away. Now, God, Jesus, will compel you. That is to say, he's going to lavish his gifts on you. He will put the wedding suit of holy baptism on you. He will seat you at his table in order to feed you. But he will not force you to eat, and he will not force you to stay. The guests at the wedding feast of the Son's table are free. They are not in prison. Here's a truth that you all know to illustrate this point. Those doors back there, those south doors, they swing both ways. For those who wish to come in, and for those who do not wish to stay and leave. But be careful. Refusing to be given to by the Lord, or the alternative of not attending the wedding feast, is outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. And that's utterly unnecessary. So brothers and sisters, here's the point finally. You are invited. You are clothed. The feast is ready. Come every time you get the chance. Thanks be to the King and his beloved Son then for their incredible giving for such a feast. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.